Good morning, everyone. Hopefully everyone can hear me okay. I have been experiencing some in and out with Pal Talk. So I don't know if you guys are experiencing in and out with the sound as well. But hopefully everything will go well for our gathering. Yeah, Jacqueline says she is too. So we may need to be a bit patient with the gathering this morning. I suppose if the in and out continues, we will hear what we hear and not hear what we not hear. But I will be recording the entire thing from here, so the recording should be mostly good. We'll see what happens when Jacqueline is reading. So welcome to our Sunday morning gathering, everyone. It's wonderful to see you. Let me just scroll down here so I can look at everyone. Hi, I'm looking at all of y'all now. Hello, hello, hello. And now that I've had the chance to look at all of you, we're going to let each of you look at all of you and say hello. While we do that, I will be playing a song by Deva Premal and Mitten called Awakening. So everyone, please enjoy greeting one another.
Calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
I saw a few of you enter the room after I said my original good mornings. So, good morning again, and welcome to our weekly Awakening Together gathering. As you all know, we have a purpose and five core values, and today I'm going to focus on our fifth core value. It says, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. And some of you may know that in December of 2012, when the Awakening Together purpose and core values first came, I wrote them on a napkin because they came so fast and I was in the kitchen and I just wrote them down on a napkin. And what amazes me is as I write the Awakening Together Minister Preparation Program, which is a very contemplative work for me, how I come to understand these five core values deeper and deeper all of the time. In fact, I look at this fifth core value and I feel like it would take 2 hours at least to teach the understanding that I now have of this core value. And I did not have that deep of an understanding of this core value when we first began, when it first was written down on the napkin. So it kind of leaves me not knowing where to begin right now when I only have a couple of minutes to comment on it. But I think that probably, a lot of people hear words like, the world is a dream. The world is an illusion. The world is not real. And without a deep understanding, even the world does not exist. And without a deep understanding of what those words mean, without clarity from within, I think that it can lead people to go into a denial of the world that is not healthy. That denial comes from the ego, actually. When our fifth core value says that all forms are temporary appearances, what that literally means, of course. In fact, Tom Conway picked the words temporary appearances. I think when this was first written, when it was written down on the napkin, it said we accept all forms as illusion. And he's the one that changed it to temporary appearances. And I agreed with that change because I thought the word illusion was going to confuse people. You see, an illusion means it's something other than what it appears to be. That's what the word illusion means. It's something other than what it appears to be. And temporary appearance is a very good description of what it is. In fact, the Buddhists call it impermanence. Of course, what it comes from, and A Course in Miracles and all of the spiritualities that we teach, teach this, what it comes from is us. And it comes from what we are believing and what we are giving our attention to. And it appears. So it can show us what we are believing and what we are giving our attention to. And this is why it needs to be honored. It needs to be honored because it's showing us what we are believing and what we are giving our attention to. But it needs to be honored without further belief. And that's why we want to focus on our awareness of our true self. Yes, I see. Is that Allison? Maybe? I forget what name you said you had in the room, Allison. But we need to honor the temporary appearance without believing it, which means we need to be spending our time focusing on our true self. And, one of the best descriptions that we've all heard of this practice is being in the world but not of the world. And that's different than the false denial that some people practice. Some people, for example, if they hear about hungry people, starving people is what I mean by hungry in this case, or they hear about wars, they hear about people suffering, they brush it off in a very egotistical way, saying that's not real. And the reason I say it's egotistical is because it's very easy to brush off something that isn't personally touching you. And when we're talking about personally touching, we're talking about ego. If they were the ones who were starving or they were caught up in war in some way, they wouldn't be so quick to brush it off as not real. So it's a very egotistical denial. It is actually much healthier in the beginning to see all suffering as my suffering and to move into it in a compassionate way, to look at it with compassion and then go through the compassion to the awareness of truth. That's the positive use of denial, through the compassion to the awareness of truth, rather than this egotistical denial. We accept all forms as temporary appearances, not real, because what is real is what we are, that which is changeless. I am always here, I being awareness. I am always here, form comes and goes. We accept all forms as temporary appearances, illusion, unreal. But it is permitted through enduring awareness of self, being aware of my reality. There is no reason for me to interfere with or change the appearance. And I live this value by honoring all appearances. I can interact directly with it. I don't need to falsely deny the appearance. But as I interact directly with it, I continually reflect on that changeless truth. Thank you, Allison. I think maybe just before you came in the room, Barb posted this in the room. You probably can't see it. But it is the fifth core value. Awakening Together has five core values. And this was our fifth core value that I was reflecting on. What I'm going to do now, and Barb has just posted it again. Yeah, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Again, it's not the false denial of the ego, which very quickly says it does not exist because it does not affect me. It's seeing all things as me, all suffering as mine, and moving through it with compassion to the light on the other side, the truth of what I am, and yet being able to continually interact with it in whatever way my role is. So nothing has to be avoided. Nothing in form has to be falsely denied. It's just seen through. All right, so let's move into the announcements portion of our weekly gathering. I have four announcements that I want to make today. The first announcement is that tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to have our monthly online satsang. And our guest this month is Mukti. I'll type her name in the room so you can see what it looks like. Mukti. And if you don't know Mukti, you might know her husband. Her husband is Adyashanti. So Mukti will be our guest for satsang tonight. Again, that's right here in the room at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 5 p.m. Yeah, sorry, did I say something other than satsang? I'm a little distracted right now, and I'll tell you why. Jamie's barking because she wants in, and there's nobody here to help me. So it distracts me a little bit when she's barking and there's nobody to let her in. Maybe I should just take a break and let her in. Hold on one moment, you all. There we go. She is in. So, yeah, Mukti, which is Adyashanti's wife, will be our guest tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Pacific, for online satsang right here in the Awakening Together Sanctuary. So please join us. Also, the second announcement I wanted to make, I know many of you have heard about our minister preparation program, and we have several people that are on the wait list for that program, wondering when we're going to start it again. Well, it's time. So we are starting the Minister Preparation Program again on April 4th. And in fact, you can register for this program right now. April 4th is a Saturday. And the very first class that you take in the minister preparation program, which we call MPP for short, the very first class you take is called Introduction to MPP. This is a 2-hour free class. It is required for everyone who is interested in being ordained as an Awakening Together minister. What it does is it teaches you what being an Awakening Together minister means so that you understand what you're signing up for. Also, it gives you an overview of the entire program, what's involved, what your expectations are, what the costs are, everything. So it's a free 2-hour class. It's required for everyone that wants to be ordained. Now, sometimes people want to take the minister preparation program without being ordained. And so they'll ask, do I have to take Intro to MPP? Officially, the answer is no. If you aren't interested in being ordained, you don't have to take it. However, the people who take that class have priority for registration. And the class size is limited. So I usually recommend that everybody who's interested in taking the program take Intro to MPP. That way you have a priority for registering for the seats over the general public. So again, that Introduction to MPP class will be on Saturday, April 4th from 10 a.m. to noon. That is Eastern time, so you need to adjust that for your time zone. That class is free. After you take Introduction to MPP, you'll be able to register for True Discernment, which is the first real class in the MPP program, the first class where you're really contemplating material and joining together to discuss those contemplations. That class is going to be held also on Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time. It's an 11-week class. The first Saturday that it will meet is April 18th. I know that that's the weekend of the Community Miracle Center conference. So if you want to register for this class, but you will be at the conference, don't worry. We'll record the first class, and you can listen to that on your own time if you aren't able to make that very first class because of the conference. So the first class will be April 18th, and then it will run every week all the way through June 27th. And you can register right now. Yeah, the first class is True Discernment. Did I say True Meditation? Sorry, the first class is True Discernment. Yeah, True Discernment, an 11-week class, Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, April 18th to June 27th. Full details are available at the Awakening Together website under the Classes menu. Plus, Barb has put the link here in the room. So please go have a look. We already have 8 people registered. I don't think I'll take a whole lot more people for this class. So if you're interested in registering for Intro to MPP, please register soon. We already have 8 people registered for the class. Our third announcement this morning is that we have new Awakening Together T-shirts. We only have 40, and in fact, a few have already been ordered, so we have less than 40. These T-shirts are available in lots of different sizes and 3 different colors, blue, green, or purple. You can see pictures of all 3 colors, and you can order the T-shirts under our 4 members menu on the Awakening Together website. So you go to Awakening Together, awakening-together.org, click on 4 members, and you will find the link to the T-shirts there. Again, there's only 40 available, less than that now. Also, the order price includes your shipping. That, of course, is assuming you are in the United States. If you're outside the United States, we'll have to bill you for the additional shipping cost. But the shirt price includes the shipping within the United States. And then my fourth announcement today, Awakening Together is raising money for a retreat center right here in Pueblo. I'm sure you all are aware of this. We've raised over $12,000 so far. Our goal is $450,000. And FYI, that works out to $1,000 per member. Now, we know that probably not all members are going to pay $1,000, and some members are going to pay more than $1,000, but that just gives you an idea of what $450,000 is. It's about $1,000 per member. It's about $520 or $10 a week. $520 per year or $10 a week per member. So it's really not a lot on a per member basis. And some people are deciding to go ahead and make a lump sum donation right now because of the tax refunds that are coming out. They're using their tax refunds to make a lump sum donation. We've seen people make the $1,000 donation that we're requesting from each member. We've seen people make the $520 donation. That would be this year's donation if we try and raise the money in 2 years. Actually, just whatever your heart tells you to do is what I would ask of you. I always ask people to follow their own heart. But I do know that sometimes some of us have a check right now that is over and above our own budget, and this is a good time for us to donate. So just keep in mind that we are raising money for a retreat center. Also, when you make that donation, checks are our favorite way of receiving the money, because when you donate through PayPal, they keep part of it. And if you send a check, we get 100% of the money. If you do send us a check, make sure you write Retreat Center in the memo line so that we know it's a donation for the Retreat Center. If you donate through PayPal, when you go to the Awakening Together website and you click on Donate, you'll notice there's a menu of options there. One of the options is about the Retreat Center. Go into that Retreat Center option and donate from there, and then PayPal will flag it as a donation for the Retreat Center. And Barb, of course, has put the link in the room. All right, that's it for our announcements. So why don't we go into our opening song? I'm going to combine our opening song and our opening prayer today, because this song to me is a prayer. So this song is called Be Still, and it is by The Fray.
Be still and know that I am with you. Be still and know that I am here. Be still and know that I am with you. Be still and know. When darkness comes upon you and covers you with fear and shame, be still and know that I am with you, and I will say your name. If terror falls upon them and sleep no longer comes, remember all the words I said. Be still and know. And when you go through the valley and shadow down from the hill, if morning never comes to be, be still, be still. If you forget the way to go, lose where you came from, if no one's standing beside you, be still and know I am. Be still and know that I am with you. be still and know I am.
All right, and I am going to move from that musical prayer directly into another musical prayer. This one really continues the same idea. This is called Be Still and Know That I Am by The River's Voice. Go directly from our prayer to an inspirational reading by Jacqueline Eckert. She is going to read a selection from The Spiritual Teaching of Ramana Maharshi, and her selection comes from a section within the book that is called Work and Renunciation. Jacqueline, the mic is yours.
Can you hear me? Disciple, what is the highest goal of spiritual experience for man? Maharshi, self-realization. Disciple, can a married man realize the self? Maharshi, certainly. Married or unmarried, a man can realize the self because that is here and now. If it were not so, but attainable by some effort at some time, and if it were new and had to be acquired, it would not be worth pursuit, because what is not natural is not permanent either. But what I say is that the self is here and now and alone. Disciple. A salt doll diving into the sea will not be protected day in and day out is like the ocean. Maharshi, yes, the mind is the waterproof coat. Disciple, so then, one may be engaged in work and free from desire to. But life's duties allow little time to sit in meditation or even to pray. Maharshi. Yes, work performed with attachment is a shackle, whereas work performed with detachment does not affect the doer. He is, even while working, in solitude. To engage in your duty is the true namaskar, and abiding in God is the only true asan. Disciple. Should I not renounce my home? Maharshi, if that had been your destiny, the question would not have arisen. Disciple, why then did you leave your home in your youth? Maharshi, nothing happens except by divine dispensation. One's course of conduct in this life is determined by one's prarabdha. Disciple, is it good to devote all my time to the search for the self? If that is impossible, should I merely keep quiet? Maharshi, if you can keep quiet without engaging in any other pursuit, it is very good. Not be done, where is the use of being quiet so far as realization is concerned? So long as a person is obliged to be active, let him not give up attempts to realize the self. Disciple, do not one's actions affect one in later births? Maharshi, are you born now? Why do you think of other births? The fact is, there is neither birth nor death. Let him who is born think of death and the palliative thereof. Disciple, Bhagavan said yesterday that while one is engaged in search of God within, outer work would go on automatically. In the life of Chaitanya, it is said that during his lectures to students, he was really seeking Krishna, self, within. Forgot all of it and went on talking of Krishna only. This raises a doubt whether work can safely be left to itself. Should one keep part attention on the physical work? Maharshi, the self is all. Are you apart from the self, or can the work go on without the self? The self is universal, so all actions will go on whether you strain yourself to be engaged in them or not. The work will go on of itself. Thus, Krishna told Arjuna that he need not trouble to kill the Kauravas. They were already slain by God. It was not for him to resolve to work and worry himself about it, but to allow his own nature to carry out the will of the higher power. Disciple, but the work may suffer if I do not attend to it. Maharshi, attending to the self means attending to the work. Because you identify yourself with the body, you think that the work is done by you. But the body and its activities, including that work, are not apart from the self. What does it matter whether you attend to the work or not? Suppose you walk from one place to another. You do not attend to the steps you take, yet you find yourself, after a time, at your goal. You see how the business of walking goes on without your attending to it. So also with other kinds of work.
Thank you very much, Jacqueline. Yeah, Jacqueline was reading from the spiritual teaching of Ramana Maharshi. And it's an interesting reading because most of us in Awakening Together have what I would call active lives. We have jobs, we have families, we have, quote, responsibilities, and most of us are not in a life that would allow us to sit in meditation 12 hours a day. I think Ramana Maharshi was saying here, if you can do that, that's great. You know, if you have been given a life where you can wake up, wash your face, have something to eat, and go into meditation and stay in meditation throughout the day, that is wonderful. But if not, the life that you have is not an obstacle to awakening. And the reason the life that you have is not an obstacle to awakening is because everything is the self. And this is getting into the deeper meaning that I see in our fifth core value. And again, I pause for a moment because at some point there's this loss of words. Our self is one. Capital S self, of course. Our self is one. And you could say that the foundation of our self is life. Unmanifest life, isness. And that life is often called light. And that light of life is the essence that makes up consciousness. Consciousness is the realm of creation. Now, A Course in Miracles tells you that consciousness is the realm of the ego. This is true, but consciousness is also the realm of the Holy Spirit, the realm of awakening. Consciousness is the realm of subject-object perception, whether that subject-object perception is right-minded or wrong-minded, whether it's what the Course calls the world or whether it's what the Course calls the real world. Since light is the essence of consciousness, and consciousness is the realm of all movement, all beginnings, all endings, all change, all perception. That means that light is in everything. Light is in everything. No matter what the appearance is, there's light in it. And since there's light in it, that means there is the awareness of truth always available to us in everything. So although sitting all day in awareness, watching awareness, meditation is certainly one way to awaken, there is no way that involvement with light can be an obstacle to our awakening, except in one situation. And that is if we are not aware of the light in everything that we do and in everything that we interact with. If we are not aware of the light, that is called darkness or ignorance or illusion or dream. But what that really means is that we are believing the manifestation, the temporary manifestation, to be real. And when we believe the temporary manifestation to be real, we also believe it to be important. The temporary manifestation includes the personality, the personality's mind, the personality's body, the personality's lifetime. If I think I am this person, and this life is my life, then it has great importance. And not only that, within the mind of the personality, we have thoughts that really color everything we see. And a lot of these thoughts that color everything we see are actually repressed, which means they're not super conscious, at least not for all of us. One of the primal thoughts that cover everything that we see is, of course, the I am bad thought, which A Course in Miracles calls guilt, NTI calls unworthiness. And the way that I am bad thought shows up in my work is that I need to be responsible, I need to complete projects in a certain way, or else I am bad and others will see that truth. And when I have this perception of my work, I'm going to be focused on my work in a fearful way. We often call that stress. I'm going to be focused on my work in a fearful way. There may be a lot of controlling and manipulating energies in my work. There may be a lot of grievances against policies or people that I perceive as obstacles to my success. In this way, work is not helpful to awakening. I am totally focused on darkness. So in this way, it appears that work is an obstacle to awakening. But in truth, work is not the obstacle. My beliefs and my focus are the obstacle. And you know, even if I don't have a job, even if I do have a lifetime that would allow me the opportunity to sit in awareness, watching awareness meditation all day, if I spend that lifetime instead focused on the thoughts in my mind, believing, oh, woe is me, I am poor, woe is me, I can't get a job, woe is me, I'm not healthy enough to get a job, woe is me, you know, I had parents who abused me and that gave me this disadvantage, woe is me, I'm of a particular race or nationality, living in a country where that race and nationality is disadvantaged, you know, even in that way, non-work, not having a job, appears to be an obstacle, but it's not the non-work that is an obstacle. It's my focus on these false beliefs in my mind. In fact, Jacqueline only read a portion of this discussion with Ramana Maharshi, but what this probably Indian disciple is struggling with, you know, there's a belief in the Indian culture that it is better to renounce family and life and go into a cave that you'll awaken. And he's saying, shouldn't I leave my family? and Ramana Maharshi was saying, if that was your destiny, this wouldn't even be a question. You know, you would have left your family. But if you read the entire conversation, what Ramana Maharshi says is there's no real difference between leaving the family and sitting in a cave and meditating and staying with the family and working. There's no real difference in those two actions. The difference is where your focus is. He says you can leave the family, you can sit in a cave and still be haunted by your mind and your attention to your mind. Or you can stay with the family and stay with work and be focused on the self. And again, that's possible because every manifestation, including thought, emotion, and form, every manifestation is light, and it can be believed to be something else. It's the believing that it is something else that is the obstacle. It is the realization that it is light and the focus on the light that awakens us. So if we go back to the reading a little bit, Ramana Maharshi is talking about the self, the capital S self. And the disciple has asked, can a married man realize the self? And remember, this question is coming about because in the Indian culture, there's a primary belief that you have to leave the family to awaken. And so he's really questioning, is it possible that I can stay here? In fact, he probably has a belief that he can't. Ramana Maharshi says, certainly, married or unmarried, a man can realize the self. He says, because that is here and now. The self is here and now, always. There is no place that you can go where the self isn't. In fact, I saw a post in Facebook this week where someone was asking, do you think it's true that Sedona has this special vortex? And different people had different thoughts about that. Some people were saying yes, and even in some places in Sedona, it's the vortex energy is stronger than other places. But probably if Ramana Maharshi was here, he would answer, the vortex is in the heart. Yes, the vortex is in Sedona, and the vortex is anywhere that you are, because the vortex is in the heart. The vortex is inward. The question is, are you focused on the vortex, or are you forgetting about the vortex? And you know, I think sometimes when we are in places of beauty, we pause and focus on the vortex, but then we make the mistake of believing those places of beauty have a vortex. Or if we're in places of historical devotion, like when you go to Israel and you're at the Sea of Galilee, or you're at the Church of Annunciation, what happens is you pause in those places and you focus on the vortex. And so, yes, of course you feel the vortex. You're giving your attention to it and you feel it. But it's not because of the place, it's because of the pause. Because of the pause that you took there. And what Ramana Maharshi is saying is you do not have to leave your family and your work and go to a special holy cave or a special place in order to focus on the vortex. The vortex is always here. The self is always here. The heart is always here. It's here and now. And you can pause and you can focus on it at any time. In fact, he says, it is here and now. He says, if it were not so, but attainable by some effort at some time, and if it were new and had to be acquired, it would not be worth pursuit. Because what is not natural is not permanent either. So if I had to go to Sedona, or had to go to Israel, or had to go to India, or had to go anywhere in order to realize the self, Ramana Maharshi is saying the self wouldn't be worth realizing then. If it's something that isn't with you always, if it isn't something that's absolutely permanent and available at all times, it's not worth having. If it's something you can lose, it's not worth having. That reminds me of Jesus in the Bible when he talked about the treasures that we store up in our storehouses in the world, where he says where moth can eat away and thieves can come in and steal. He says those treasures are not worth it. And of course, we know he's talking about material things in that particular scripture. But I would say, you know, if we were to talk to Jesus, he would be in 100% agreement with Ramana, and he would say, yes, I agree that if you can only experience the self under these special circumstances, and you think you have to have these special circumstances to experience the self, that's not worth it. Yeah, God goes with me wherever I go, from A Course in Miracles, and this is the God that we need to realize. The one that is always here in every moment, regardless of the outer circumstance. And remember, the outer circumstance, although it may appear to be something else, and we can believe it to be something else, in reality, the outer circumstance is also only light. Right? Everything is only light, because the only source is light. There's nothing else to make anything out of, not even temporary appearances. Ramana Maharshi says, well, first of all, the disciple says, life's duties allow little time to sit in meditation or even to pray. So I think this man almost wants to be told that he needs to leave his family. I think he wants Ramana Maharshi to say, yes, you need to leave the family. And then the man can say, yay, and he can run away and leave his family. But Ramana Maharshi doesn't say that. Ramana Maharshi says, work performed with attachment is a shackle, whereas work performed with detachment does not affect the doer. He is, even while working, in solitude. Have you ever looked at what creates attachment to your work? I already talked about that, 10 minutes ago. It's typically the I am bad thought. Typically, I need to be successful in work, or I need a specific outcome, or I'm bad. Another thought might be I am safe thought, or the I am not safe thought. The fear that if I don't work in a particular way and achieve a particular outcome, I'm not going to be safe. I'm going to be fired from my job. Attachment is a shackle, and what it's really shackling us to are false beliefs. So whenever I am believing that I need a specific outcome, it may even appear to be a really good outcome for a lot of people. If I look underneath it very carefully, whenever I'm attached to a specific outcome, I'm going to find a very personal false belief that is being upheld by my belief that I need the outcome. In detachment, in allowing everything to unfold as it does, that doesn't mean that I still don't put forth my best effort. I'm going to say this temporarily because in a way I'm going to change it in a moment. That doesn't mean I don't put forth my best effort. But it means even if I do my job as well as I can and the whole thing fails, I'm able to accept that because I trust that all things are light. And in light, there is only good. Remember, in Genesis, it says that, God created the heavens and the earth and saw that it was good. He divided the lands and divided the seas and created land and saw that it was good. He created the plants and the creatures and saw that it is good. When you know that there is only light, it is all good. There is no bad outcome. There is no way I can be bad. There is no unsafe outcome. There is no way I can be unsafe, right? So in detachment, you are trusting that all things are light. In detachment, you are focused on light. Again, if we look at the surface level may appear to be, I am attached to an outcome, or I am not attached to an outcome. Both thoughts are surface. But underneath that surface, there's something deeper going on. When I am attached to outcome, I am attached to the false beliefs that I am bad and I am unsafe. Unless things work out a particular way. When I am detached from outcome, what is under that is absolute trust. Absolute trust that all things are light. And no matter how this seems to unfold in form, it's still light because every temporary manifestation is made up of light, right? All there is light. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, I said that you're going to put forth your best effort, but be detached. That's kind of like a phase one, and I do think we all go through that phase one when we're learning this. We still put forth our best effort, but we make a conscious decision to be detached from the outcome, to trust the outcome. But that naturally advances to a more advanced state where it may not even be true anymore that we are putting forth our best effort. That doesn't mean that it doesn't look that way. To others, it appears that we're still putting forth our best effort. But even that degree of focus is no longer there within ourself. Within ourself, we are now focused on awareness, watching awareness, even as the body is moving about. The best effort is happening on its own. So the first phase is choosing to be detached from outcome, choosing to trust that any unfolding is light, that light is all there is. That gets us focused on the light. That gets us trusting in the absolute light. From that, the natural next phase is a constant awareness, watching awareness. And the work is occurring, but to say I work, I'm putting forth my best effort, is no longer true. And sometimes people say, how could that be possible? In fact, in the reading that Jacqueline did, the disciple was saying, how could that be possible? If I am not focused on my work, it will fail. And Ramana Maharshi says, that's only because you believe you're the one doing the work. Remember, everything is the light. Even the work occurring is the light. You do not need to be focused on the work for the work to occur. Every temporary manifestation is the light, and the light can take care of itself. And when I was contemplating this, originally, the first time, I was very much in agreement with the disciple. I thought, no, that can't be true, Ramana. I love you, but if I don't focus on my work, you know, something bad is going to happen. I need to be focused on my work. But when I had that thought, a thought came into my mind to challenge me in a very practical way. The thought that came into my mind was to watch how much of the time I am actually focused on work, and how much of the time while I'm doing work, I'm lost in thought. I may be washing the dishes, but daydreaming about a conversation I had with Lynn, for example. And what I started to notice was a large amount of time, you know, at least 90, maybe 95% of the time that I was working, I was not actually fully focused on my work. The work was happening fairly automatically anyway. I was focused on stories in my mind. And, of course, the continuation of that thought that came into my mind was, if you can be lost in your mind and the work still be done effectively, don't you think you could be focused on self and the work still done effectively? And I thought, okay, that makes sense. I'm willing to try that. And, of course, that then returned me to the next step in the contemplation was to return my attention to the teachings of Inner Ramana, which provides things like the I am that I am mantra and the self-inquiry, so that if I am doing the work, again, the work's happening automatically, but I noticed while I'm doing the work, I'm caught up in stories, I could then shift using the mantra or self-inquiry to turn my attention to self-awareness. But you know what happened is either way the work was occurring. The only place where the shift needed to happen was in the attention of the mind. So, time to wrap this up. The moral of the story is this. Everything is light. Or said another way, God is all that is. Or said another way, self is all that is. This body is made up of light. Any work that needs to be done is made up of light. The light knows how to interact with the light. But when I'm focused on manifestation as if it is true, I think I am this body, I think this physical life is my life, I think these thoughts are my thoughts, then I have belief in illusion or belief in darkness. The outer never needs to change, only the inner. Where is my focus? Am I focused on this is important, I must get this done right, therefore holding up false beliefs about who I am and what is true about me? Or am I at least taking that first step in trusting all is light? There's nothing but light. No matter how this unfolds, it's light. And therefore detaching from outcome, and learning to refocus myself on contemplation of the self and allowing everything to happen automatically. This is what Ramana Maharshi is encouraging this disciple to do, to stay with his family, stay with his job, stay with what appears to be a very worldly life in the eyes of others who believe in worldly and spiritual, as if there could be worldly and spiritual, but lots of people have those beliefs. But Ramana Maharshi is saying there's no such thing as worldly and spiritual. There is only light. Wherever you are is where you're supposed to be. You are the light. Your life is the light. Just turn your attention to the light. All right, with that said, I'm going to play a song which we can use to contemplate this teaching. While I play the song, of course, Barb will put a link in the room for anyone who wants to donate to Awakening Together. And this is like passing the plate in a church service. This song is called Remember, and the artist is Omkara. Thank you. All right, this is the time in our weekly gathering when it's the opportunity for everyone to share based on the reading or based on the homily. The follow the reading. That word homily to me is funny. It reminds me of hominy, you know, the corn. But that's what they call it, right, is the homily. So if anyone would like to share based on the reading or today's homily, please put up your hand. I would be very, very happy to turn the mic over to you and hear what you have to say. All right, Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. Hominy. I like that. Pozole. That's what we call it here in the desert Southwest. But it's the same stuff. I'm always coming back to A Course in Miracles. This is really what A Course in Miracles is all about, is being able to generalize these very beliefs, these thoughts about what am I and who's really running the show and who's in charge of things and all that kind of stuff. Really just on a daily basis of listening and just doing, going about my daily life and listening always for the voice for God, it is absolutely not only possible, it's necessary to do that. The folks that get to go and sit in the mountain, you know, and meditate their life away, it's almost like they're taking the easy way out. I know that there are a lot of things that affect them also, and that, you know, they have to work through. But when you're having to deal with, washing the dishes, making sure that there's food in the house, making sure the kids are getting to school, you know, you're doing your job, you're whatever it is that you're doing all day long. It's bringing the thought of my truth, my reality into all of this and seeing how it all reflects something back to me that tells me, that informs me of what I am. That is really the work. And, you know, Nisargadatta was, you know, really very big too on this householder idea, really, that wherever you are, this can be done and it will be done, and it really I think it's a faster path really to do it through your actual involvement in life and the world, because there are so many reflections to show you your thinking that you wouldn't have otherwise. But it's the choice to take that as an opportunity rather than to see all these things that happen as obstacles. They're not. All the things that are happening are the path. That's what's making it possible for me to wake up, is seeing that the things that are happening are the path. The obstacles are my lessons. And, you know, if I'm taking those and I'm learning those and I'm sharing those, realizing that into the rest of my life, then I'm in joy. It's an amazing experience. And to do it any other way is insane, which is, you know, most of the world. So thank you for this today. Very beautiful. Thank you so much, Regina.
Thank you, Lynn. And of course, if it's all light, you know, which is the teaching, there's nothing but light. If it is all light, the truth is there's no difference between sitting in the cave or being the householder. This is what Ramana Maharshi is saying. You could sit in the cave and be distracted from truth, or be the householder and be distracted from truth. You can sit in the cave and focus on only truth, or be the householder and focus on only truth. You know, A Course in Miracles says something about this path of forgiveness, this path of relationship, is faster than meditation. But you know, you listen to other people like Michael Langford, and he will tell you that, you know, meditation is the most rapid and direct means. I think what Ramana Maharshi is saying is whatever life you are given is the most rapid and direct means, the best path, the faster way for you. And what the ego tends to do is wish for the other. I think that Ramana Maharshi is saying it is the mind itself, the one that is wishing that things were different. That is the obstacle. Take your attention away from the mind and focus on the light. No matter what you have, trust that what you have as a lifetime is the perfect lifetime for you. Sharon, the mic is yours.
Okay, I just want to actually say that I don't know how long it's been, but it's been maybe, I don't know, in count of days that I haven't left the present moment. And I don't even know what it means because my thoughts come in my mind, but they just fall away. And it's just this, like, this awareness that I see everywhere, and it's so exciting, and I'm not doing it. You know, I always thought that I had to do something. And listening to NTI, I guess, from Timothy on, was more clarity for me when you're teaching, Regina. Of course, I'm grateful, but you're not doing it. The one self that's waking up. Here's a really interesting thing that I'm watching in my mind. My two sons are about to not know where they're going to live. Each one with a different story. Now, everyone that knows me, yes, you don't do the teaching. And here I am, like, saying, oh, that's perfect, all is well. Like, what happened? See, I think one of the things that came to me was that the ego really is not something that we have to keep chasing away. That's why forgiveness works and doesn't do anything, because if you keep not making it inclusive, then the seemingly sleeping projections and the seeming projections that are awake are still, like, the same. So it's all sameness. So, I mean, I'm, like, telling my sons, like, oh, but you know, all's well. This is exactly what they need. Now, everyone knows I had a very hard time with my youngest son's story, you know, being addicted. And see, that's the perfect story. He's not doing that. I don't know what happened. I just know that I know that everywhere I go, I feel alive. I love everything and everyone. I just am in a very good place. And I don't know what this is called, and I don't need to. Because I'm not doing anything. And I never was. And so, I'm going to drop it. But I must say that, you know, Regina was never, ever, there's no single anyone here. It's just that she came in this dream to teach, and this seeming Sharon came in to listen. So really, no one here is special. There is no one here that can, you know, in my defensive list, my safety lies. I mean, defending this, like, little person is just keeping me in contraction. So, you know, it's funny. The laughter I had when I first began and now is just so incredible. Oh, I love my life. I love life everywhere, and I'm excited. So, you know, we could say thank you, Regina, and thank you, and thank you, Sharon, but really there is nothing to thank but life. Life is God. You know, Timothy Orr is just amazing. This NTI book, I love every book I open. I open every book now, and I know. It's not me. See, the ego is another, in Latin, means I. There's no I. It's all we. It's just happening. I gotta drop the mic. It's just cracking me up. I mean, in my idea, the story I had was this neurotic lady that I play would never get anywhere. All is well.
Thank you, Sharon. It is wonderful to hear that laughter, that giggling of delight. I love listening to that. And, you know, before we got into the actual service part of the gathering, when I was talking about our fifth core value, I mentioned that there's a false ego denial. And that false ego denial might say, oh, it's all light, but it's talking about things that doesn't touch the personal life. And the same person, if things were touching the personal life, would not feel that way. So when you're talking about your sons, neither one knowing where they're going to live, and you are laughing and you are trusting that it is all light, that is true denial or positive denial of the unreal and recognition of the truth. You see? And there is a difference between saying, oh, you know, that war over there is not real, when I'm sitting here in my comfortable home in America totally untouched by it, and being able to be comfortable with outcomes regarding my sons, my family, and know that it's all light. And you know, this is really what we want to work towards, not the false denial, the selfish denial of the ego, but the denial that I am the self, the true denial that I am the self, that my family are the people they appear to be, the realization that light is all there is. This is enlightenment. Light is all there is. And enlightenment is known by giggles. You recognize it by laughter. It has joy no matter what appears to be happening. The Bible calls it the peace that passeth understanding. You know, to others, the personal life may look like, oh my gosh, you know, how can you be giggling? Everything in your life right now is at peril. But you know it's not at peril, because light is all there is. Light is all there is. Does anyone else want to share before I play our closing song? Yeah, Lynn is asking, what is more helpful, judgment and meddling, or allowing and trusting? And I think we all know the answer to that question. Allowing and trusting. By the way, NTI says, you know, that you have two choices. It calls it fear or trust. And it says, however, fear is never your last choice. Every time you choose to fear, you have the opportunity to trust. The only choice that can be the final choice is going into that permanent trust. Fear is never the last choice. You can never go into fear and not come out again, because trust is the truth. Trust is a reflection of the truth. But you can go into trust and never come out again. Isn't that beautiful? All right, I'm going to play our last song for the day then. This is to help us remember that everything is light. All outcomes are light. Light is all that is possible. The name of this song is Stay Awake, and it's by Celtic Woman.
Lie down upon your bed.
Thank you very much, everyone, for joining me for today's weekly gathering. Next week, your minister will be Nikki Dobson. If I'm correct, which I could be wrong, but if I'm correct, next week is Nikki's first gathering. I won't be able to be here because I'm traveling, so if you all would please represent me and come and support Nikki in her first gathering, I would appreciate it, and I will listen to the audio. All right? Have a good day, everyone.